Welcome to the Circle Sessions featuring the Circle of Experts. Each week, one of the Circle of Experts joins me to talk about critical aspects of growing your podcast. The Circle of Experts are Yasmin Robles and Izzy Dadosky from Rebel Marketing, Tanisha English-Amamu of TJE Communications, and Don the Idea Guy. I'm Brett Johnson, my podcast guy from Circle 270 Media Podcast Consultants. This week, Don the Idea Guy is here. He possesses creative powers beyond those of mere mortals. Don the Idea Guy rescues those in need of innovative ideas through his brainstorming sessions. You can find out more at dontheideaguy.com. Don, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, sir. That was a wonderful introduction.
It wasn't it? Exactly. Just it's professional at its finest. Exactly.
It's damn fine. It's, I mean, just off the cuff like that. Man, no mess ups.
Yeah.
No errors.
Damn. Yeah, none air, no errors, exactly. I wasn't sure when I posted up, you know, Inside Baseball here, you know, Don and I have a shared doc that we just put stories up. And I threw this story up there a couple of days ago thinking, you know, we'll let it sit up there. It could sit up there for a couple of months and maybe not touch it. But you saw it and kind of realized, like, you know, let's get, dig into this. And it's from Oxford Road. And the article is Podcasting's Identity Crisis. A report warns lack of clear definitions are stalling growth. Now, of course,
podcasting is having such a problem with growth right now.
Exactly. Now, their definition of growth, of course, is dollars growth. And that's been a sticky point in the industry for a while. Those that are focused on wanting more dollar advertising dollars to come in to this space. And, you know, ultimately, that really only affects about 20% of podcasters.
Well, you said the source was Oxford Road, but I think it's also important to note that Oxford Road is an agency.
Correct. Thank you for even going deeper on that one. So everything they're aligning to this is to read between the lines that they want more definitions of what podcasting can do so they can make the buy easier.
Yeah.
That's that the bottom line, because they don't want to have to work. They don't want to have to figure out, okay, wait a minute. We usually buy cost per thousand CPMs, but we can't do this here. Really, I can't put it in the software because podcasting buys do not exist in ad buying software. It just doesn't exist.
And there is podcast creep right now. And one, update your software. There should be a podcast button at this point.
You'd think, or at least figure it out, because the numbers
you can build as podcasting. It's an audio ad, or it's a video ad, depending on where you're running this thing. So the fact that you don't have a specific button to push is ridiculous. It should just be ad. If you want a podcast button, great, put a podcast button in. But I don't think you need it, and it's not stalling growth. I think they're getting demand from their advertisers going, hey, I hear these podcast ads are getting great results. Give me some podcast ads. And they're getting the invoice back, and it just says ads. And but where's the podcast ad? Mm-hmm. Just add a line item yourself, you lazy mofo.
That's all there is to it. Exactly. Well, and I think that the smart podcasters, they're touching all these different points of video and newsletters, or, you know, email contacts and such, and they're combining it all together. And that's frustrating them as well, too, because you can't justify a buy going, well, we bought this podcast, but yeah, it's X amount of video exposures, and they have a newsletter of 15,000 recipients.
Right, there you went. Yep.
And the open rate is this, and the advertiser will get it.
The agency won't do it.
Yeah.
The audio is one thing. So many podcasters are putting their episodes on YouTube. That's another part of the issue. So you mean I'm buying an ad in the audio thing and I have to pay this other thing to be in the video part? Yeah, maybe. Depending on the way the podcaster has it structured, you might.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But the advertiser needs to realize, but if you value the followers of that podcaster or the podcasting group or whatever it might be, or the network of podcasters possibly, this is what you have to play with. This is it. And to me, the reverse of this is when agencies start to train their clients, this is how we need to do it to make your business even better or sell more products, whatever. Yeah. Let's do it. And we'll help you get there.
Think about in our radio days, we're bundling together a sponsorship package that includes a lot more than radio ads, right? You know, it's an event. So you're going to have a booth at the event. We're going to hang banners at the event. And we've got social posts leading up to it. And we have the email blast that's going to go out. And, oh, we're going to be doing a contest every day. And you're going to be mentioned in the contest for the event. The ads are probably the smallest component of value. Yeah. But when we send the invoice out, it was for a sponsorship or for ads, and everything fell under that. So when you're putting together a campaign for an advertiser, Mr. Agency, call it a campaign, and all the elements are part of the campaign. I don't get their problem of being fixated on the label to the point of they're calling it an identity crisis. It's not an identity crisis. It's a laziness crisis.
Right. Exactly. And again, they even quote here something that podcast ad revenue growth dropped from 26% to 8% in 2023, highlighting advertiser uncertainty regarding podcast formats and performance comparison. I call BS on that one.
It's self-manufactured issue.
It's self-manufactured. It's an agency highlighting agency uncertainty regarding podcast formats and performance comparison. That's what they should be. They're just inserting advertisers and then should say agency. They just don't know what to do.
And are they having a crisis because they don't want to count their YouTube video feed ads as part of the podcast sponsorship? Right. It's part of the podcast sponsorship.
Yeah. You know, and there are a lot of YouTube doesn't play well with podcasters, of course, you know, so if you're buying the audio form of the podcast, that RSS stream is, you know, you digitally inserted an ad in that podcast, it's not going to show up in the YouTube version because YouTube doesn't absorb an RSS feed. You have to upload it differently. So it's.
But if the ad is recorded as part of the show, it gets uploaded as part of the show audio.
That should be
your podcast ad. Your video pre-roll on that. If you can control that at all, because YouTube wants to put their pre-roll on there.
So, you know, podcasters are actually getting dinged for all the outlet format, the YouTubes or Spotify's or whatever. We can't control this stuff.
There's that many places to play your podcast and there's an audience at every single one of them.
Right. And there is a valuable audience in every single one of them. Exactly. So yeah, it just interesting, who's defining what? And I've heard other grumblings about this article as well, too. It's just that I guess I'm getting smarter and smarter as I see these articles, too. It's like, okay, who wrote it? And it's like, I didn't realize that was happening. It's interesting.
They're going to need to better define their problems with the stalling growth before I consider it a crisis of a podcast identity. It's an agency crisis, but what isn't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You want me to pay what?
Ultimately, exactly, it is. Yeah.
Speaking of ads transferring to YouTube,
yeah,
kind of a cool thing going on with YouTube now. I've long held this debate with you that videos are not podcasts. It's fine if you want to put your podcast on YouTube. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You want to have a video content you're producing and it goes on YouTube. That's fine too. I don't have a problem with that. But audio to me is podcasting is audio. Be that as it may, podcasters are putting their audio on YouTube either with repetitive animated video or with true filmed at the desk talking to each other, video going up there, and YouTube slaps their video pre-roll ads on it. And if you want an ad from your podcast to be in there, it kind of needs to be a read inside that you recorded with your feed, and you can't change that. YouTube, apparently understanding that there is a podcast identity crisis, has introduced this new ad test. It's not for everybody yet. It's just testing, but they're going to allow the dynamic insertion of host read ads from a podcast. You and I have talked before about the value of a host read ad is way beyond any kind of placed ad. And the fact that they're going to be able to go back and dynamically insert a host read ad on a show that's, you know, 6 months old, you can have an updated live read in there, essentially a live read, host read. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm pumped for this.
Yeah. I don't know whether you can classify as a game changer or not, but it certainly puts a different spin on working with our previous, you know, the piece here, just talking about, you know, the ad agencies. It's like, yeah, you can now can insert your host reading an ad that Mr. Agency, you told them that you want them to read, you know, so now there's the formula. Just get your software updated. That's how we're going to do this, that it's going to be seen. However, the plays, whatever the report is coming from YouTube in regards to If it was seen, is it non-skippable? Is it skippable? I mean, there are some nuances there. We don't know what's going on, but I'm assuming if YouTube's controlling it, it's probably non-skippable.
Probably not,
You
especially
know?
if the podcaster's controlling it.
Yeah.
If the pod, and it looks like this tool's in the podcaster's hands,
Yeah.
because the dynamic insertion of ads in general was a game changer for podcasts. Somebody discovers a podcast, the first thing they do if they like it is they go back and listen to older episodes. But you know, what if you had an old sponsor in that one? You're not getting credit for playing that, or it's old information. It's an old ad for a special offer that's not available anymore, or the something happened to the brand in the media. I mean, you were pimping Teslas 2 years ago in your podcast. Do you really want that Tesla ad running in your podcast right now?
Right.
So ad insertion was amazing, but it was really predicated on the podcast host that you were using. If that tool allowed you to update your RSS feed and the podcatchers, depending on where you were listening to a podcast, would it update the RSS feed whenever it came through? So that show was updated. The fact
Yeah.
that YouTube is doing it, and we know that YouTube is breaking all kinds of records as the place to go to for podcast listening, I think it is a game changer because it is the single platform that you can count on a ton of people going to. You know they are.
Yeah. And looking at it generation to generation, I think we have a piece here we're not going to really go into, but it's, you know, stating that Gen Z is now becoming more of a focus of what media they're consuming is video is a big amount of their consumption, and it is on YouTube. Kind of going off on a tangent, that's where, you know, traditional TV, the ABCs, the NBCs, the CBSs of the world have got to be shaking in their shoes. They have to be taking looks like, wait a minute, we can't even, we're not putting anything up there that they're watching. Our average age is 60 on all, you know,
Well,
they're way behind the times. Yes, that's where it is. And YouTube's recognizing that.
I do think that you're seeing, as we're the battle of the headlines, I do think we are seeing some headlines that are also saying that people are leaning towards audio version of podcasts now too. That
Yeah.
more of them are
Oh, sure.
understanding that there's value in the audio,
Yeah.
but the people who love videos are always going to watch videos. That's just
Yes, correct.
you're not going to train them to be audio listeners. They
Yeah.
love the video aspect. To be able to control, for the podcaster, to be able to control a host read ad as they wish gives them greater opportunity to package their sponsorships in different ways, to offer additional value to existing advertisers. It's a fun new toy for people to play with, and I think it will make a difference in the kinds of ads that you'll hear.
Yeah, it will. You're right. It's not going to be the direct marketing kind of stuff, which is, I think, kind of played away a little bit. You're now seeing, I think you're going to see brands coming into it a little bit more going, oh, I can be on this on YouTube. That's interesting. Okay, let's give that a shot. I think, yeah,
I
looking
mean,
at it that way.
McDonald's will be able to advertise their new 99 cent menu that's on sale right now, or
Yeah.
their new
And
menu item that got added
well,
this week
and
in all your old shows too.
yeah, and think of, so the next step of this, I don't know why it just dawned on me. It's like, okay, when you brought up McDonald's, so let's say that the host read ads are time sensitive on when the video is played.
I don't know
So,
why it wouldn't be
you
if it
know,
was dynamic insertion.
so let's say
You'd
that
promote the breakfast menu, promote the dinner menu.
exactly. So if the video is played at 10 or 11 o'clock at night on YouTube, it's actually promoting McDonald's breakfast.
I mean,
You
the
know,
dynamic ad
as an
insertion
example.
tools that we're familiar with on a couple of the hosts that we've dealt with, they allow the time breaks, right?
Not in regards to when it's played, but within you can pick whenever you want it to play within your podcast. What I'm saying is that let's say the video is played at 10 o'clock at night. It activates a certain ad to play in the YouTube video.
And YouTube makes sense because it doesn't function like a typical podcast where
It
you're
doesn't.
downloading it to listen to it and they don't know when you're going to actually play it back. It doesn't
Exactly.
know what ad to download. But with
Exactly.
YouTube, you're streaming live
Yeah, or a
in
choice. I
real
guess.
time, real
Yeah,
time.
yeah. Or you pick a choice like you're seeing now. But which of three ads do you want to watch, kind of thing? Okay,
Maybe.
maybe it's that, you know, ultimately.
Yeah,
Yeah, which is interesting. Yeah.
YouTube does some good stuff. I think that I'm safely putting this in the game changer category.
Okay, man. No.
In a way that I'm not putting the podcast identity into a crisis category.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. I
Your
guess
mileage may vary.
yeah, I to me, I like to categorize the game changer that the content creator is actually making some decent money from, if that's what they're wanting to do.
Yeah.
That to me, and this has the potential. It just comes down to how well are and will be creators paid.
It will make a difference on whether these dynamic insertions are controlled entirely by the creator, or you have to be part of YouTube's podcast network so that they can insert your ads at the price they want to insert them in.
Yeah, right. And I know I've commented on episodes before. I mean, I got pulled into podcasting because of audio drama podcasts. And then, just it just blew up from there for me. But it's that going on to our next story, Netflix considering adding podcasts because they're cheaper than quality films.
It's crazy, right?
It makes sense. I mean, why not? Why
But
not,
Netflix
honestly?
is such
I
Netflix is a visual medium.
Yeah.
There's not even like some people use YouTube to listen to music, so some people use it to listen to podcasts.
It's its own highway
Netflix
of
has been video. So to introduce this audio centric content, are they going to have audio only? Will there
I
be a
don't know.
Netflix podcast player? Are they only going to take the video versions? It's too much is in the air to understand if it's going to work or not, but they've certainly developed programming that has been based on podcast shows. But this article seems like they're going to carry the podcast.
And podcasts and that doesn't lead toward full out quality films or a short film or something like that. That's true. Again, it's that video of talking heads. I don't see the intrigue of that, but that's me. I can't say that there aren't people that like, yep,
Yeah, but
I love watching it.
who's your
So.
guy that Spotify paid $1 billion to for his show?
Oh, Rogan, Rogie.
Rogan. So Netflix could put Rogan on there.
That's true. I mean,
Think about
that's I
Howard Stern early,
yeah, that's a prime example.
pre-podcast. Howard Stern radio show, Howard Stern TV show, plenty of viewers that maybe weren't listening to him on the radio at all because now you could get him in other markets.
And if
Howard
Rogan
Stern on Netflix would be huge. Howard Stern on Hulu would be huge. Same with
it would
Rogan.
be. Yeah, because of the guest power that they bring on. A lot of
Yeah,
it's that,
absolutely.
ultimately, yeah. So
I mean,
you're talking another level of podcast though,
think
that
about Bill
that's
Maher's TV show.
yeah.
That's a podcast. I mean, he's got his own podcast, but he's got his TV show. I don't even know what the new one's called. I'm always going to call it politically incorrect, but that's a podcast, right? So we're watching those talking heads. Oprah.
Well, and you know what? Netflix has the bandwidth, I think. They should experiment. Why not? If it doesn't work, it's a failed experiment. So what?
And it costs them a
Ultimately.
fraction of what it would be to develop a blockbuster. So
But
I'd be very surprised if you don't see Hulu jump on this headline and follow suit.
And I think even with the streaming sticks, you see a certain channel. One popped up the other day. I cannot remember for the life of me what the name of it was. That that's all they're doing is focusing on podcasts. But
Really?
it's an app you got to put on,
Yeah.
the dashboard and such like that. But it's programming, cheap programming, where most podcasters are like, yeah, for access point, okay, cool, let's
And
do it.
I'll be surprised if Amazon doesn't follow suit. Amazon has not done well with Amazon Music. People prefer Spotify. So for them to go, why aren't we adding podcasts to our music player? And now all of a sudden it's Amazon Podcast. Well, Amazon Prime Video, Amazon Prime Podcast. Because the
I
Prime,
think
but Prime Music's not doing it, but you'd be using the exact same player to add the podcast, just like Spotify does.
right. Yeah, they're all primed to be able to do this, quite frankly. It's just how they package it, what quality that they bring in. I mean, it's not going to be for everyone to put some stuff up there, but it's
Well, it
another
doesn't even have
access
to be
point.
exclusive. It
No,
doesn't have to be exclusive. It could be.
wouldn't.
It could be, but it doesn't have to be. Gavin Newsom just started a new podcast. Somebody needs to bring his on there because he's going to make a run at the presidency in a few years. He will want that exposure, so just carry him.
Brand awareness for what he
Yeah.
needs to do, or anybody that's in that. I think we've touched upon this around election times, that this medium is totally underused. I think Trump, with this last cycle, showed what the power of this medium can do.
Well, the other is we discussed, I don't know how many shows back, I was complaining that I was watching Max, the former HBO Max. Mm-hmm, I was watching a show on Max, and they have basically all the DC superhero stuff on there. And I saw a new show, a new Batman show, and I clicked on it to watch what I thought was going to be an animated movie. And it was a podcast. A player screen came up, and it was a podcast, like radio drama. And they did it without any kind of announcement saying, hey, we offer podcasts now. There's just random audio only shows up there. Spotify has featured a lot of DC's and Marvel radio dramas based on their superhero characters.
Right.
So it's kind of out there already. Shining the spotlight on it could draw in a different kind of Netflix audience.
And that might be the avenue to go, is like you said, under the DC or the Marvel or the some label that people are somewhat familiar. It could be a Star Wars feel to, or some world that exists that you bring in.
But Max still doesn't even promote it as a podcast. They're not calling it a podcast. It's more annoying that it's unlabeled, because when you click on it, you don't know what you're getting. And then it is a letdown when you're expecting video and you get audio. But if they gave it its own audio drama category, you'd seek out content there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And think about all the things that, oh my God, think about all the things Prime has licensed. Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. How much money did they spend on the miniseries? Audio would cost them a fraction. Yeah. The Reacher series, it takes a long time to produce those 8 to 11 episode dramas. Man, you could do a cross between an audiobook and a podcast, and now you're selling the hell out of more Reacher stuff while the show's being produced.
Well, look at the success of Office Ladies podcast. I mean, that's been going. That's been going.
School
on.
Me. I don't know Office Ladies.
Well, it's two of the women that were on The Office doing it, and they were breaking down every episode. I think they've gone through every episode already, because it was a launch up to them being on, being released on NBC Peacock.
I wasn't aware of that one, but
they're still doing it beyond. They're done with the episodes, and they're still doing it. So it's that takeoff on popular shows.
Yeah, there have been several that have been rewatching. MASH did one. Igor, the cook from MASH, did a MASH rewatch, and he did it as a podcast. And he had different guests on that were still around from the TV series. It was very cool.
And anybody that's totally into inside information or didn't know this, didn't know that, don't have the bonus extra stuff, I think it's prime for it.
Yeah. The characters from Buffy were doing a Buffy rewatch.
Mm-hmm. So if you pick the right lane, and you know the base that's excited to get more and more in The Office, I think The Office kind of really started that. Yeah, you know, there may have been a few before that, but The Office Ladies really put a shine on that.
Yeah.
It was just a big popular. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It definitely go with the content you've already got viewership for and do a podcast around it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So think about how many shows promote themselves. I've seen a lot of streaming series now that invite people to tune in to the after show podcast, the George R. R. Martin, Dragons and Naked Dragon Ladies show that always had a podcast after it. Dexter, the new Dexter series as the show credits are opening for the episode, it says, listen to the podcast. Every episode has its own podcast. Another popular rewatch series was West Wing, where they had the actors on that doing it. So
that might be
now
where
just
Netflix
instead
is
of
going
sending
with
people
this.
To watch the podcast, you could say you can watch it right here after it's over. Bill Maher, again, does that with his show, because on the show when it originally launched, he was sending people to YouTube to watch the after show. And now on Max, at the end of the show, they roll the credits for the show and they go right into the after show right there.
Yeah. Yeah. That may be where Netflix is going with it. And that makes perfect sense, because it keeps the time spent watching. You don't have to go anywhere. It leads into the next program and the after show, the podcast, especially if the podcast has it could even be a lesser known character in the show. It doesn't matter.
It's just the host.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. There's a host. They did that for Walking Dead. They did Talking Dead as a show right after Walking Dead. Talking Dead was a podcast, but they broadcast it immediately after the TV show, and they would bring it was hosted by Chris, the nerd guy.
Okay. I can tell you.
So Chris Hardwick.
Okay.
Hardwick. So he was the host, but every episode would have one or two actors who were in the episode as his guests.
Yeah. And you take the next step of this. So you take the post show podcast and you take that on the road.
Yeah.
And do audiences with that.
Which they could have done with Walking Dead easily. They
oh my gosh.
Would absolutely do. They may have done it with that Real Housewives, because there was always there was always an after show for those. Not a show I watched, so I don't remember. But I think they went on tour.
Yeah. So the potential's there.
Yeah.
And you just write it in the contract for the actors, especially the second tier actors that they want more money. They just didn't get enough camera time. You
well,
know,
on Walking Dead, you always worried when they said who the guests were, because frequently one of the guests was somebody who got killed off.
Right.
So, like, oh man, did they kill him off in this episode?
there's the bonus money that you're now going to be on the show after and on the road.
Yeah, and that's a good way to let people know you're looking for work now. I just got eaten by zombies. I need another gig.
No, that's an exciting thread of really
all right,
tapping into your base. That's that why not? Yeah.
So we've talked about TV streamer, video streamers adding audio podcasts. Let's talk about the audio platforms adding video now.
Yeah, right.
So let's flip that coin and look at the other side, because I haven't seen it yet. I guess it's still in testing. You shared this article that Spotify is adding what is essentially
shorts.
YouTube shorts.
Yeah, exactly. And it's brand new. Yeah, it's a I have not. Now I know it's been in test because I went to the Spotify creators page, and of course you see the big name and you see a few examples, and of course it's the pretty people that are doing this, you know, sort of thing. So it's but it basically it's in your show page where potential fans can browse your episodes. In the home and podcast feed, where Spotify users discover new content, it's in the browse tab to help you reach audiences interested in your genre, and in the now playing view, so you can catch users when they're already engaged with content. So it's short form content is king right now.
It's for different reasons too. Like I was never, like I'm not a Instagram stories person. Like I don't create them. I don't really watch them unless Instagram forces me down a rabbit hole. I look at one video post and then all of a sudden I'm getting the TikTok feed, like one after another. I'm like, nah, you're not catching me on this loop. I came here for this. But then YouTube has gotten me now where they will show me a short that is based on a longer piece of content that I'm absolutely interested in, either by the creator, or there's a game show that I really love, that I'm drawing a blank on right now, but it's a spinoff of the College Humor site. These guys started their own business and they do some interesting game shows, and they'll show me a clip of a game show question. And I'm like, oh, I haven't seen that one yet. I got to search out the actual full episode of it, because they do a lousy job of saying, if you like this clip, click here to watch the full show, because they're sucking you down the shorts rabbit hole.
Okay.
But with Spotify, to me, the goal would be, oh, you like this clip, watch the full episode of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I saw you talked about the pretty people, and I'm going to do a shout out to Columbus boy, Lewis Howes, who's one of the people that they're showing.
Yeah.
Lewis has done a fantastic job of monetizing his podcast, expanding and extending his content every place, because he's got an annual event that he holds here in Columbus, where he brings in a dozen speakers and it's multi-days, and he's got book deals and he's got his podcast. And now he's going to have these clips to help promote the podcast on Spotify. It is a cool feature, especially with Spotify getting in the video. They keep promising me courses. They keep promising me courses on Spotify, and I keep waiting for the courses. I think it would be really interesting, but I've not seen those yet.
Yeah. So, once this rolls out and what the dynamics of it is, you know, how can you, the limitations, or is it just or it doesn't have to be created on their platform, so the consistency of quality is there versus like, no, you can't repurpose what you do on YouTube and bring it along. I could see where Spotify may be very picky about what how they allow you to produce what's going on up there. That
I
just
don't
can't be
know.
a maybe. I don't know.
The
It'll
article
be
was
interesting to see.
interesting in that, again, I've said it three times in this episode, but I love the purest audio-only podcasts. The cool thing about this thing for Spotify is even if you have an audio-only podcast on Spotify, you can still create these promotional video clips to lead people back to your audio-only show. The fact that even if it is a video podcast, you're not restricted to using a clip from the episode. You can create a brand new clip. Maybe you're introducing the guest. Man, I had a great guest this week. Make sure you tune in. It is a pre-roll, basically a pre-roll video, or it's a quick ad for your podcast that is content. I think there's a lot of potential here, I feel.
Oh, I think so too. No, I think it's great. It's been just a again, devil in the details how they're going to do it, but it's
Sure.
that I think it's that looking at it from a different standpoint. It's like, yes, you could be audio only, but now get in the video piece of it because it's important. Just get the phone up or how again, depending on how you can create the video and what they're going to allow to come up there. Let's look at the rules and regs of when it happens. I think it can be really, really good. And Spotify is already number two as a podcast player. This could shoot them. This is a different piece than Apple is even close to offering.
And think about the other utility that podcasts offer. One of the things I like about Spotify is their daily playlist that they put together for me, because I can count on, oh yeah, I went down a rabbit hole listening to Hawaiian music. I've got a playlist now that I can listen to Hawaiian steel guitar or surfer rock, or and they're pulling it together so I don't have to. Now connect that to the podcast clips. They certainly recommend podcasts, but I've still never really been a convert for Spotify as my podcast player. But for with their skill at pulling the music content I want into custom playlists, I think they're going to be able to do that with the podcast clips, the video shorts, that they're going to entice me into going, oh man, I do love that that speaker. I want to watch the full episode because I saw the teaser that you put together for me. I think it could be fun.
The teasers, the short clips can DNA can be generated from that much easier than a long form podcast sometimes because it's like ours we're just doing right now we're all over the board. This is our DNA is very difficult for Spotify to say, okay, this is what Brett and Don are talking about,
But for
where a
you to be
show.
able to pull the content out and feature just that 90-second clip, that's a huge benefit.
And then they can figure out the DNA on that. Yes, the recommendations could be that may be where exactly where they're going with this, which is super a super discoverability piece to it. Yeah,
Yeah, I'm pumped for this.
it's good.
I
And
want to
if
see
I'm,
it. I want to see it working, though. I want to see some examples. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, and finally, I love this thing you found from eMarketer, I believe. Yeah, eMarketer about creators increasing their income from alternative revenue streams, which has been our hill that we've stood
Yeah.
on from day one, that they've broken it down into the many alternative creator revenue streams that are outpacing sponsored content revenue growth. I
I
mean, it
love
just.
when we say something and then 6 months to a year later, we find some sort of proof in a study that somebody ran and
That
went,
we knew.
I told you.
Right, exactly. Go over it, please, because you posted it. I
Oh, it
love
was,
this piece.
it's eMarketer, so they love communicating in charts, and their chart of the day talked about that creators were increasing their income from alternative revenue streams, not just ads placed in the podcast. And we've always talked about that. It's you have to build up your audience to the point where an agency would be interested in buying ads in it, and then you're getting pennies for the ads. Or you can have a smaller audience that you haven't built up, but then you got to go out and pound the pavement to get in advertisers at a higher rate. As those agencies struggle with the crisis that is identifying exactly what a podcast is, that the end of that argument is they're going to knock down pricing again. They're going to sell it pennies by the pound, and the creators are going to get hurt by that because they're not getting all that revenue, but they're going to want to be included because the big money's there, the big advertisers are there. We would still agree you're better off going out and finding a small advertiser locally. But this thing lays it out to say, Hey, start your podcast, grow your audience by all means. Latch on to the teat that is mass advertising and let them sell you for pennies a pound, but treat that as found money. Just go out and do that. But while that's going on, build up these other categories. One of them, the top one, was tipping. Tipping and gifting.
That surprised me, honestly. But there are some nuances to tipping and gifting too.
There is.
It's that probably there's content tied to that as well too. That is maybe
yeah, but I
the
think some
bonus
is
stuff,
just the
maybe.
Tip jar. That's webs.
Right.
That's World Wide Web 101. You put a tip jar on there.
Right. Right.
How many things do we still see? Buy me a coffee.
Buy
right?
me a coffee. Right.
So
exactly.
The tip jar is huge. Gifting, I think that's connecting it to your wish list on different things. If you are if you're doing a cooking podcast and you go, hey, you want to support the show, you can click on my wish list and you can buy ingredients or you can buy cooking materials, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Merchandise. I think I'm surprised that that's in second place because it's so easy to produce merchandise on demand now. I think it's only in second place because podcasters aren't doing enough of it. Pick out the funny, quick, quippy kind of pithy thing that you said in your podcast and turn it into a t-shirt, turn it into a backpack. Turn it into a mug. It's so easy to produce that stuff with zero upfront cost. You got to get on the board here. And I'm going to be very surprised if we don't see merchandise surpass tipping and giving. I mean, it's only a few percentage points apart.
Right. Yeah. To your point, I'd forgotten. I hadn't watched Park and Recs for so long. And there's an article I have yet to read about Rob Lowe. And it's breaking down his shows in the Park and Recs piece that he had. And his one word that he brought to the forefront, literally. I mean, if you do
there
something
you
like that in
yeah.
your podcast, that you have a guy, one of your co-hosts always says a phrase or one word, literally, you make a t-shirt out of it.
Yep.
And a quote name or whatever, people buy that stuff.
And it doesn't even have to carry your branding or logo. I mean,
no,
we talk about
doesn't.
The importance of brand, but it doesn't need to carry it. If it's a cool saying or stupid or funny or targeted to the right, like you do a podcasting on aging, right? The things people go through in aging, there's got to be a bunch of stuff about when I was growing up, I didn't have this, or I'm too old for this shit. Yeah. I mean, you could have all kinds of aging shirt jokes about growing older.
Yeah.
But you don't have to have them branded for your podcast, but there's a built-in audience that might like it, but other people find it appealing too.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. Yeah.
So merchandise, and just a throwback to one of the best merchandising outcomes ever, George Lucas. When George Lucas struck his deal to get Star Wars made and he could not get the money from the studio that he wanted, he asked for 100% of the merch rights. And the studio went, "We don't care, but merch. Yeah, all right, whatever. We sell movie tickets, dude." And
genius.
That has made him way more money than any of his movies have made him.
Genius. Genius.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
my
old
gosh.
School, man.
Mm-hmm.
Third on the list was subscriptions. Almost 30% are making their money off of subscriptions. So that's the behind the scenes stuff. You know, it's the unreleased podcast or subscribe that you can get it every day. It's interesting that they didn't make that fall under tipping. But
there is a difference between the two.
There is.
Yeah. Because tipping, like you said, could be just, hey, I appreciate that episode. Yeah. I'll give you $5. Where a subscription, I think, and that's where I should have qualified what I said, tipping and gifting at the beginning. The subscription is probably the bonus stuff. That's where the bonus stuff is coming in.
Yes. Like, that's where you'd be, because there has to be value there.
Yeah.
Right?
Paywall.
It's the one to one. It's the after show. It's the questions that you get to ask a guest. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing about subscription being on there is the fact that this article deals with the fact that the podcast creators are coming up with these other revenue sources because podcasting revenue advertising is so unreliable. It's really hard to predict that kind of stuff. You can't predict tipping and gifting either. Merchandise, if you've got that ongoing, you can kind of count on, after you've had it going for a while, you can predict what your sales of a new shirt might be. But subscription, I mean, you can say month over month, we're going to get this. You'll have some attrition, but you're going to know what your recovery rate is on that. The revenue month over month is becomes predictable.
Yeah,
sponsored
yeah.
content is on there. You know, that's that sweet spot advertising of sponsored features that you and I talk about how important it is. It's the sponsored question of the day, or it's the sponsored movie review that is beyond the ads that might run in your show, that is way more profitable and predictable if you're out there tracking it down.
Yeah.
Platform payouts. Were you clear on that one? You know,
I don't know. I don't exactly. I'm not sure exactly. I'd have to. The way I looked at it, as
I'm thinking that might be like medium,
maybe. Yeah, that possibly, which still is a subscription to a certain
degree.
Yeah,
but not really. So medium, yeah, you subscribe to medium.
Yeah.
But me as a writer, if you read my article, I get a couple of cents, and that's a payout I get from there. You're not subscribing to me on medium.
And there is a, I can't think of the name of the podcast player that does that too, pays a penny per play, something like that.
So, yeah, it could be something like that.
So something to that effect. Yeah, probably.
They could also be considering Spotify that if there's a rev share on ads are running in, or YouTube, that could be YouTube payout.
Right.
Platform payout.
Yeah, which again, it's fifth on the list, folks, just what we just talked about in this whole podcast. It's that.
Merchandise is bringing in 32, almost 33%. Platform payout 12%.
Yeah, it's all of this is based on to me the amount that you, of work you put into promoting that you do have. You do have a subscription, yeah. So there's going to be work for paid content, sponsored content.
Oh, Patreon subscription.
Right, there you go. That it's that sponsored content. Yeah, what we talk about in that segmented part of your podcast, that every week we review a movie or something like that. There's a little bit of work to find that sponsor, but guess what? It could be more than 16% down the road if you just put effort into that.
Well, it's but more engaging content. It's not, people will remember, people remember advertisers who sponsor content they enjoy.
Right. And I think it's great though to see tipping and gifting at such a high percentage on top of the list because, well, it's easy to
talk
do
about
so
unreliable. But unpredictable.
But it's easy to do, so just do it.
Oh, it's easy, sure. Yeah.
It's easy. So find the avenue to do it and ask for, if you like the episode, buy us
a great
coffee,
point.
$5. It's so easy to do. It may only pay for dinner once a month in regards to the total payout, but it then leads to, well, wait a minute, we're asking for a tip. Why don't we sell merchandise? Oh, wait a minute, we do merchandise. Why don't we do subscription? It all falls in line. You get more and more courage to do it.
I'm encouraged to see the tipping up there to know that the audience, that's proof the audience is willing to support you.
Right.
And I think that anybody who supports you with a tip is somebody you follow up with and invite them to subscribe. Or if you don't have a subscription, but you're only having tips, maybe you need to consider a subscription, because if those people are willing to tip you on a regular basis, they're probably willing to subscribe to you.
And if they're willing to tip, they're willing to buy merchandise.
Oh, merchandise is totally unrelated. It doesn't have to be connected. They could hate your podcast, but love your stupid t-shirt.
Right. It's a sales funnel. If you look at this, it's a true sales funnel that it's like, you're willing to pay $5 a month. They're probably, keep promoting that we've got a subscription level that they do this or whatever the case might be.
Next time you're doing your laundry, as you're pulling the shirts out of the dryer to fold them, just look at how many you have with stupid sayings on them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, I think I think these percentages are, they make perfect sense. And they're totally promising that you do not have to rely on sponsored content, which falls in at 16%. I think that's it. It should be a breath of fresh air that you don't have to, if you hear all the comments and discussions about how we're way behind on sponsored content, and we should be in the trillions of dollars versus billions, but we haven't got it set up right that you can't buy podcast, blah, blah, blah. There is a way around it. If you want to monetize around your podcast, if that's what you want to do, there's a way to do it.
If you're interested in earning more revenue, I'm sure you're going to have a link to this in the show notes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Click the link to read the article on eMarketer. It's free. Yeah. You don't have to subscribe. Print out a copy or do a screen grab of this chart, and I print out a copy of it. Draw little check boxes next to each one of those levels and put that on your wall in your recording studio or next to your computer. And if you're not able to check that box off to say that you are going after revenue in that category, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Make that your to-do list.
Yeah. Because the tipping and gifting, we've told the, I'm sure we
You can
said the
set that up
percentage
in
of it.
5 minutes
Yeah.
on buy me a coffee.
But it's at four, basically 40%. So 4 out of 10 of those polled are getting money from tipping and gifting.
It
You
costs you nothing.
cost nothing to do, exactly, other than if they donate, you're gonna have to pay a certain percentage to
Yeah, but they take that out of the donation. You don't have to, you're not getting an invoice for that. They take their cut off the top, and that's perfectly
So
fair.
a buck you get 85 cents of, or whatever the percentage is and is anymore, that sort of thing. Yeah.
And then,
So
that's why merchandise is second, that you have work associated with it.
yeah,
That's why it's second.
each piece is a little bit more work, a little bit more work, a little bit more work,
It's
honestly,
either
other.
more work or it's more reliance on another platform is what that is. So tipping and gifting, there's a dozen platforms you can use to get a tip. You just need to put a link on your site for it. Merchandise, you got to design it, set up an account on Cafe Press or Zazzle or whatever and get it printed. Subscription, you got to be on a platform to, a Substack or something like that where you or a Patreon, you're going to have to set that up. Affiliate marketing, definitely relying on somebody else having a product or service that you can resell. Sponsored content, that's a lot of work for you. You're going to have to create the content, then you got to go find a sponsor for it. Platform payout, there's a lot of people doing it, but your payout is a fraction of what you get on those other efforts because your ROI is terrible on a platform payout.
I would love to see now the other, the last category is other, and it's 15%. I wish they would have broken that out because that 15% is actually bigger than a platform payout. It would have been interesting to see what other ideas are out there, just for the
And
sake of being creative.
that's where you end up with a problem of how was the survey handled? Was it a, I can write in anything I want? Like, for example, for tipping and gifting, what if somebody wrote in, buy me a coffee, and that didn't fall under tipping and gifting? It depends on how they executed the survey, and you never know.
But overall, my gut tells me this survey was done very well. I'm not surprised by any of this stuff.
Except the fact that 15% is other. Either you didn't make them define other or they didn't understand how it fell into a category. Like if somebody typed in Cafe Press, were they going through the results and saying, oh, that's merchandise?
And you know what? I just read the first line under here too. The U.S. social media creators saw nearly a 40% year-over-year increase in tipping and gifting revenue.
That's interesting. It's interesting it went up. Through the COVID stuff, it's interesting it
So
went
it
up.
probably, if we saw this breakdown in the same categories were shown a year ago, merchandise might have been number one
That's a
with a
great point.
40% increase.
Yeah.
So the mechanisms to get tipping and gifting and the creativity around tipping and gifting and creators asking for a tip and gift, that's key. You've got to ask consistently.
The other is you get to keep a higher percentage of your tip too. Merchandise, you're taking basically a commission on a shirt you're sold.
Yeah,
So
right.
there's
Yeah.
probably more direct to you revenue that comes from something like that.
Yeah. This is exciting. I when something comes home and it shows exactly what we've been talking about over the last couple of years, we probably spend more time on this than anything in this episode. I'm
It's important.
excited.
It's money for the listeners. Money's important.
It is. It is. And podcasting is designed to do everything on this list. Other than do it really well. It's do it really well.
It's ways to monetize the audience besides just
Exactly.
shoving ads in front of them.
Then worrying about your downloads and your uniques and all this other stuff that's thrown at you by the big money. There's big money to be made elsewhere. Because again, if you do the math, let's just say you have 500 people that listen to your podcast. And if you ask and get 50% of them to give you $1 a month, that's $250 a month, folks.
But again, I'd argue that's a subscription instead of just a tip, because
It,
somebody
you know,
might give you
sure.
a $50 tip once, but I'd rather have 50 people subscribe to me for $1 a month.
Correct. Yeah. It's that, what do you want and what can you ask from your audience? Yeah. What kind of consistency? And it's that, yes, you're not going to pay off the house with this kind of money. But who's to say you can't pay off the house with this kind of money if you do it right?
If you do it
And
right,
you're in total control of
you're
it.
not gonna send that money back. It ain't gonna hurt.
Right. And you're in total control of it. total control. You're not praying to YouTube that you get a $50 check for views that didn't happen or did happen, that sort of thing. So
Although I
anyway.
did figure out a way, as a parting comment, because I know we need to wrap it up,
Yeah.
I did figure out a way we could get some more money as content creators from agencies.
Okay.
I think we just need to tell the agencies that tariffs now apply. There's a podcasting tariff for there's a tariff for the uploads. Because tariff's going to be a line item on shit now.
So hopefully, yeah, that if anybody list, so if anyone's listening in the UK, we get a 20% tariff on free.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Not for advertisers. The
Oh God.
advertisers are paying for the tariffs, not the listeners.
That's true. They're not. You're right. Yeah, exactly. Wow. Okay. Jeez. Well, yeah, listener, we if there's no way, if there's any way that you're not excited about what we just talked about today, you need to re-listen the last 15 minutes. But if you want to brainstorm or come up with some alternatives, you like what we just talked about, tipping and merchandise and subscription. We gave a lot of great examples, but if you want to know more and to explore some more, get a hold of Don. Don, how do they get a hold of you?
Oh, the easiest place to find me is DonTheIdeaGuy.com. I'm on all the platforms as Idea Guy or Don the Idea Guy. But if you go to DonTheIdeaGuy.com, there's a brainstorm link. Click that, book your time, give me your credit card number, and we'll schedule a time to come up with some ideas just for you and ideas for generating revenue for your content that you're producing.
Right. And then once you get those ideas, you want to implement them with your podcast, you can contact me, go to mypodcastguy.com, get a time on the booking calendar and say, Brett, I got these ideas from Don. He says how to do it, how to implement, but the long run, I need help with. You got it. Let's do this. So, Don, thanks again. This is, I think, one of the better episodes that we've done. I really
Well, it
do.
was
I just,
such
I loved it.
positive things we were covering, aside from the
Yeah.
whiny agencies at the front. That's why we got
And
it out of the way quick.
we got it
Everything
out of the
else
way
was just
quick.
potential.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a good choice. We were going to do this last, listener, and Don says, you know what? Let's put the controversial stuff up first because we want to end on a high note. And going, I love that idea.
All
Good idea. Good
right,
idea.
man.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Talk to you next time.